This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raider podcast. I'm your host, JT. Hall of Famer Warren Moon will join us in a little bit. The all-time great quarterback who also works on the Seattle Seahawks broadcast will break down the Seahawks, and Lincoln Kennedy, the sideline reporter of the Silver and Black, coming up in just a moment. Raiders 0-7 coming off the loss last Sunday at Cleveland, trying to pick a couple of encouraging points from that game. The good news is the Raiders improved on third down. They got off the field on third down as Cleveland was only 2 of 12 in that game. But the Raiders turned it over. They had 8 penalties in that game and 3 turnovers, and that's not going to help a team that is desperately looking for their first win of the season. Good news for Oakland, I still believe the play of quarterback Derek Carr. He's getting hit, and he's getting back up. He's a leader. They talked about it on the broadcast. When he walks into the room, he lights up the room. He's not upset. He's not pointing fingers. Clearly, I believe the Raiders have their quarterback of the future, but now the goal is to get Derek Carr a win, get him motivated to win more games this year. Last Sunday, Carr, 34 of 54 for 328 yards and a touchdown, but the Browns scored 14 points in the fourth quarter to win at home. Last Sunday, Seattle traveled to Carolina and barely got out with a victory by a score of 13-9. The Seahawks are 4-3 on the year and tied with the 49ers in second place in the NFC West, chasing the Arizona Cardinals. Looking at the Seahawks, it's been a little bit of a different run this year. Last year, they mowed through the NFC en route to winning the Super Bowl over the Denver Broncos. In the offseason, they lost a couple of players to free agency, the early trade of Percy Harvin this year, and clearly Golden Tate, one of their best wide receivers, gone as he moved on to Detroit. Doug Baldwin is now Seattle's leading receiver with 371 yards and only one touchdown. But I think it comes down to beast mode. Marshawn Lynch having another big year, 3 touchdowns on the ground, 4.7 yards per carry. He's amassed 475 yards this year, and keep an eye on him as a receiver. He's been unbelievable. 17 receptions for 147 yards and 3 touchdowns. Russell Wilson, in a contract year coming up, having another great year as a leader, 1,490 yards, 11 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions. So look for Russell Wilson to try to get back on track here with the passing game, as the strength of the Seattle Seahawks clearly is on the ground, where Seattle is the second-best rushing team in the NFL, averaging over 148 yards a game. Oakland, dead last, 32nd, at only 69 yards a game. The Raiders have been talking about getting this offensive line going, opening up bigger holes. I think the offensive line played well against Cleveland. They're going to have a big game in a very hostile environment on the road in Seattle. I believe the toughest place to play. And keep an eye on that Seattle rushing defense. 6th overall in the NFL, only giving up 89 yards a game, 21 points a game for the Seahawks. So the Legion of Boom, not as loud as they were last year, but they can be very lethal at any given time. So we'll see what happens as the Raiders now get to the meat of that schedule. Remember, we've been talking about that schedule on this podcast all year long, and now it gets very tough. And this is without question the toughest game of the year for the Silver and Black. And that says a lot with 2 games with Peyton Manning coming up and a game with the 49ers. No tougher place to play in football than going up to Seattle and taking on the world champion Seahawks. Our first guest is the sideline reporter for the Raiders, Lincoln Kennedy, who had a standout career for the Silver and Black, but got bad news this week. The entire Raider Nation got bad news when Mo Collins passed away. Mo was a first-round draft pick by the Silver and Black. He won a national championship at the University of Florida and played with Lincoln Kennedy on the Raiders' most recent Super Bowl team. I bring in Lincoln Kennedy. And Lincoln, I know you have a real heavy heart. Thanks for your time. It's been a real difficult week for you. First off, Lincoln, tell us about your relationship with Mo Collins on and off the field.
You know, the thing is that when Mo first came into the league, I remember getting a call from the late, great Al Davis saying that Mo could very well be one of the better linemen that we've had in the Silver and Black in quite quite some time. So he advised me to try to take Mo under my wings and sort of bring him along. But I could never imagine the magnitude of which Mo and I became friends, became close, and like, as he said, like brother. He was like a little brother to me. Some of my best years were playing alongside of him as a guard, me as a tackle under John Gruden's offense. I was able to have some all-pro years, and it was through the help of great guys like him.
I'm looking back on his career. He was a great high school player at West Charlotte High School and then went to the University of Florida, where he ended up winning a national championship. And then the Raiders select him in the first round, Lincoln. So clearly this was an outstanding football player at a very young age. And Al Davis wanted to fit him in quickly as this team and that roster was building together to try to make a run at the Super Bowl.
Well, you know Al as well as I did. He was always mindful of the offensive line, how important they were. And there was a hole that we had at left tackle spot. When he picked Mo, he thought that he could put Mo in there at the mainstay. It didn't really work out to the way he thought. We had to, you know, fill in with guys like Barry Sims. But Mo did have a good couple years. And when he made the transition from left tackle to right guard, him and I had the likes of playing next to one another. And we were able to really move some people. You know, back in 2000, we had the number one rushing offense in the league. And then in 2002, we went to the Super Bowl, we had the number one offense in the league.
Lincoln, talk about the chemistry at that time. You mentioned John Gruden, Rich Gannon, the offensive line, Tim Brown, some of the high-profile players there. What was Mo Collins' role with that chemistry and with you taking him under the wing? What was that like trying to get everybody on the same page? Not everybody got along. Gannon was a tough guy to work with every day, but he was the ultimate worker and a guy who wanted to win.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And Mo was you know, he was a great soldier. He was the type of guy, he would say, "Hey, Mo, take care of that defensive tackle," and he was taken care of. And I had the fortune of playing with some guys that are like that, that just were no-nonsense guys going to get their job done. And as you mentioned, Rich wasn't always the greatest, the easiest person to get along with, especially a quarterback. But Mo and the rest of the offensive linemen understood that if we were going to be successful, he was going to have to be successful. So we had to do everything we could to keep him clean.
Lincoln, what about off the field? And I know you, after a game, you're so focused when you were playing, and now when I get a chance to see you, when you're on the road, when we were in London, you really know how to relax with your family and friends, but you love to talk football and connect with people who had a big role in your life. What was Mo like off the field?
Hey, we were as thick as thieves. We both had our way of relaxing, but we always, you know, reveled in the fact that we cared so much about family and being a part of our family. We were inseparable at times. There was times where we hung out constantly off the field. I mean, we were very close. Mo was, as I said earlier, a brother to me. We could talk about anything. We could get along easily. We both knew the importance of taking care of ourselves as well as taking care of our family. And so that's something that resonated throughout us. So we were extremely close, man.
I know how busy you are traveling with the Raiders and your radio responsibilities and what you do away from the Silver and Black. How did you get the news? How did that news hit you?
Well, I can say it hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, I was really stunned. Jerry Nack gave me the news on Sunday. He's with the Raiders audiovisual crew and productions, and he gave me the one we were in Cleveland, and I couldn't believe it. I thought it was like a very bad joke at first until I got confirmation. This many days later, I'm still stunned over it. I'm going to the funeral session before I head up to Seattle with the team for the game. But it's been hard. I mean, how do you say goodbye to someone so young at 38 years old, leaves behind a wife, Jolynn, and two kids, son and a daughter? He was a great man, and he'll always be forever in my heart, and I'm sure that of the nations as well.
Well, nicely said, and I'm sure the family really appreciates that you're going to attend. Obviously, you would be there under every circumstance. And, Lincoln, I want to come off of that and talk football. I think that the Raiders have done an unbelievable job with you on the sideline during the broadcast, the way Greg Papa brings you in to plays before the play, right after the play, along with Coach Flores. The Raiders are really struggling, but I like the way you see the game. Has it been very frustrating to you this year when you can see some of the lineups of other teams and the way they're set up before the play and to know what's coming, but you can only do so much as a sideline reporter? You almost see the play before it develops.
Yeah, you I appreciate that, JT. You know, the thing is that being from the sidelines is different than I've ever had to do, especially broadcasting, because I've always been a hands-on guy, especially playing. being able to see these things and not being able to communicate to the guys is really hard. Even as a player, I'd like to, you know, think that I was close to the defense or defensive players, be able to see things certainly on the field. And now you're just reporting it. You're an observer from the outside looking in. It'd be the equivalent of me yelling and screaming at my television if I'm sitting home playing armchair quarterback. But it's much deeper than that. Because of my personal fondness for the Oakland Raiders and the men in silver and black, I want to do whatever I can to help. But you have to do it from a distance. And you and I both know, being from the media standpoint, we only have so much influence or control. A lot of people might think that a lot of things that we said is sort of nonsense, but, you know, those that really know us know that we're true and genuine and what we say is passionate. And I try to convey that to the people who are listening to our broadcast.
Lincoln, what was encouraging about that game in Cleveland? It's never good when a team loses a game, especially the Raiders that haven't won a game this year, but they did get off the field on third down, and it looks like the offensive line is coming together. Do you like the chemistry up front? And with all the injuries on the defensive side, what are you encouraged about?
I'm encouraged that I've seen 3 weeks of consistently hard play and passion. And I was concerned about that the first month of play under Dennis Allen. I didn't think the guys were as passionate about being out there and cared as much as being out there. And I was really thought there was going to be some trouble. But under Sperano, they've been able to rally. Now, you and I both know there's no such thing as a moral victory in professional sports. However, what seems promising or, you know, encouraging is the fact that this team is coming together. The parts that you mentioned, the offensive line is starting to play better. The defense is slowly starting to play better in spite of all the injuries they've had on that side of the ball. And I like the promise in Derek Carr and Khalil Mack, Gabe Jackson, some of the young faces that are going to be the future of this organization. I like what they've shown so far early in their careers.
Lincoln, looking at Seattle quickly here, their stats don't jump out at you like they did last year. Their leading receiver is Doug Baldwin on the year, and he only has one touchdown, but they have beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, 4.7 yards per carry, 3 rushing touchdowns, and they are the number 2 rushing offense in all of football at over 148 yards a game. The Raiders are dead last, 32nd at less than 70 yards a game. Seems simple to me. 8 in the box possibly here. Take the run away, because Russell Wilson, even though he's a very good quarterback, doesn't have the weapons that the Raiders are familiar with from the last couple of years.
Well, there's more times that the simple format is easier on paper than it is in real life. The thing is because you have to have a real good rally tackle. I think the Raiders have done a little bit better in slowing down the run these past weeks, but it's going to be a tremendous chore this week in Seattle. And, of course, we know this is Seattle's formula for success, always has been, run the football and play stingy defense. It's going to be wet. It's going to be cold. Guys are going to be frustrated. We got to have every guy in the silver and black defense rally to bring Marshawn Lynch down, because you cannot allow him to have a big game and expect to be successful at the end.
Lincoln, I can't thank you enough. I know your travel schedule and going to Mo Collins' funeral and then having to get up to Seattle and all the travel that it's going to take, plus doing your job as you lost your brother. Very difficult. We can't thank you enough for joining us. Thank you so much, and God be with you.
Hey, I appreciate it, JT. Really mean it, and thank you for having me, brother.
You're listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.
Thanks again to Lincoln Kennedy for joining us. As you can imagine, Lincoln's having a really tough week, but he will be on the sidelines in Seattle. And he's a diehard member of the Raider Nation, and he lost a brother, a very good friend. And I know a lot of fans throughout the Raider Nation are thinking about Mo Collins and his family tonight. Our next guest, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play and part of the Seattle Seahawks broadcast team, we welcome Warren Moon to the official Raider podcast. And Warren, thanks for coming on. Let's get right into it. The state of the union of the Seahawks coming into this game, because there's a lot of chatter, a lot of talk coming out of the Pacific Northwest and nationally that things aren't going right.
Yeah, they are, and that's what usually happens when you're the marked man in any sport, on any team, especially when you're the top dog. And they've had a little controversy come into their football team, and people are taking their shots. But I think the team is handling it really well internally. I think Pete has really rallied the troops together. They did have a big trade, no question about it, with Percy Harvin being moved away a couple of weeks ago. But they've kind of rebounded from that. They have a road win under their belt since that trade, and I think they're on the right track now.
Warren, you know this team really well. Inside that locker room, they stick together. Pete Carroll demands that. Can you talk about how different he could be off the field, but when it comes to serious times, when this team needs to come together, he knows who to count on?
Well, I think that's one of Pete's strengths, and he's one of the most positive guys I've ever been around, and he really isn't understanding all this negativity that's surrounding his football team, knowing what he knows inside the locker room. But There's no question whenever you have 53 guys that you get together that are as talented and have as big of egos and different personalities as any team does, there's going to always be, you know, some type of little problems here or there. Everybody's not going to always like or love each other, but as long as you respect each other and understand the main goal of the football team, that's all that really matters. And I think Pete has done a great job of sending that message to everybody in the locker room. And I think this group is as close as they're going to be now, because sometimes things like this can either separate you or it can pull you closer together. And I think that's what it's done to this team, has pulled them a little bit closer together.
Warren Moon joins us. Warren, first, two elephants that could be in the room. Number one, Russell Wilson is about to get paid after this year, and he deserves that. People talking about his leadership skills, he has it, how he handles himself. He deserves to get big money. But do you sense that he's going to be that type of player that doesn't expect max money because he's going to want to leave some of it on the table the way Tom Brady did, so this team can continue to build?
You know, he would be a guy that I would expect to do something like that if it actually happens. It wouldn't surprise me if he was a guy that did that, because that's just the type of team player that he is. And I think he understands that he has a long time to play in this league. He doesn't have to make all of his money right now. And as long as the Seahawks look to take care of him later on down the road, I think that's something that they could work out. But I can't speak for Russell on his negotiations. But if it was to happen that way, then it wouldn't surprise me, coming from him, the individual that I know.
Warren, we're getting a lot of conversation on radio, especially in Seattle, that it's a done deal that Marshawn Lynch isn't going to be back. He pretty much knows it. The people around him know it. Could that be true? Only 28 years old. The production is still very high. Is this just a great relationship that eventually would come to an end and both parties will be happy on the way out?
Well, you know, I don't know who knows all that information, because a lot has to be done between now and then as far as how Marshawn plays, what happens with the football team, is he injured or not, all those different things that go into making those decisions for the next football year. But I think people are just looking on the outside, looking in, just because of some of the things that they've seen and swirled around the football team, whether that decision has already been made or not. I don't think it's been made. I think the team is going to do what's best for the football team in the end. And if Marshawn being there next year is best for the football team, John Schneider and Pete Carroll will both have him back. If not, they'll move him on.
Warren, how surprised are you that Oakland's coming in 0-7? You get a chance to see him in the preseason. I know you know the owner and some of the executives there. Considering all the moves they made in the offseason on the defensive side and some of the veterans they had, I'm sure you expected them to have a couple of wins by now.
Yeah, I am really surprised, given the fact they really had a good free agency offseason and brought in, like you said, some really talented players, but also some leadership type players. You know, you're always going to have some problems when you're starting a rookie quarterback, no question about it. But Derek Carr has played pretty well as a rookie, so I don't think he's been the reason why they haven't won football games. But they've got to somehow put it all together. They've played really good in spurts, but haven't put it all together to pull out some of those wins. And at some point that's going to happen, and if you're the Seahawks, you just don't want it to happen this weekend. But at some point this team's going to get it together and start putting together some wins.
You like the way Derek Carr standing in the pocket, getting the ball out, making deep accurate throws, and he hasn't won a game, Warren, but it doesn't seem like it's bothering him. I mean, he's upset that he's losing, but he still has high energy and expects to win.
Well, he's a very confident guy, no question about it. He's very upbeat, just like his brother was. And they just come from that type of background. But I think that's the great thing about him, is his attitude. As long as he continues to stay positive, as long as he continues to stay confident, I think the rest of the football team will follow in place at some point. And like I said, good things will start to happen. He's making good decisions with the football. Like you said, he's getting it out of his hands really quickly. And it's just a matter of time before all the other pieces come together.
Always great to catch up with the Hall of Famer, Warren Moon. It's a pleasure to have him on the official Raider podcast for the first time. And thanks for listening again. If you have any questions about the podcast, you'd like to ask a question, just head on over to Raiders.com and also download the podcast on iTunes. Next week, we'll get you ready for the Denver Broncos as Peyton Manning comes to Oakland to take on the Silver and Black. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.